my income is, you know, not dependent on the generosity of the Harvest members. So anyway, I want to take the opportunity, you know, as a non-paid member to talk about giving. And if you're a visitor tonight, I'm really sorry that you chose this week to visit. Also, please know that I don't normally speak. So, you know, if I'm terrible, give us another chance next week. We have a great pastor. If you're like me, you're probably constantly getting hit up by people for money, and they're probably coming to your door and trying to sell you, you know, cable subscriptions or fundraisers or sell you magazines. I mean, does anybody even read off of paper anymore? And then you go out to your mailbox and you get your mail, and you get like a whole newspaper full of coupons and ads, and there's organizations asking for donations. And so, you know, some of them are good ones. Then, you know, it never fails. You sit down to eat and the phone rings and you make the mistake of answering it, and it's some nice lady who wants to give you a free security system. I don't know about you, but I kind of get cynical about people asking for donations or asking for money. And unfortunately, I think that sometimes we come to church and they start passing that offering plate, and it's kind of hard not to lump the church in with those other people that are just trying to squeeze a buck out of us. So today I want to talk about giving from a different perspective. I want to talk about it from as a perspective of not as a duty, but or as a, you know, to an organization that just needs to keep their lights on. But I want to talk about, I want to focus on giving as a way of connecting with God on a personal level. Now, there are many aspects of giving in the Bible. I could talk for hours on them all, but I want to focus on just five unique and what I feel are extremely important aspects. The first of those five is giving as the act of worship. Now, boy, this thing keeps falling off. My dad sticks it under his hearing aid. He said he can lock it down, but fortunately, I don't have that same issue. So, I just wanted to warn you, though, that I will be jumping around on scripture quite a bit. So, I'll have all the scripture up here, so you hopefully don't have to, you know, flip back and forth in your Bible. Starting in Psalm 96. Chapter 96, verses 8 through 9, we see worship being tied to giving. It says, "Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." Also in Matthew chapter 2, just after the birth of Christ, the wise men came and they visited Mary. And it says, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." The very next thing they did is they gave Christ their treasure. It says, "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Their worshiping Christ included giving. Now, I looked up the word worship, and it's a feeling or expression of extreme respect and adoration for a deity. And I got to thinking, if I remove deity from that definition, it's really not a lot different than my feelings towards my wife. So I started thinking, what if I was on a date before my wife and I got married, and I took her to dinner, and the check came, and I pulled out my phone and started calculating half of it, and I said, "Okay, your half is this much. Oh, and don't forget to tip." I'm seeing a few guilty faces out there. I hope none of you have ever done that. No, but seriously, would that reflect adoration for her? Would it even lead to a next date? Would she find that pleasing? I'm guessing it would probably ruin the date, and she'd be thinking, "This guy doesn't like me." Our money is tied to our worship. In Luke 12:35, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Isn't it interesting how true this verse is? I decided to start digging through my credit card because I wanted to see where my heart is. So I went and looked at the statement, and it, you know, has my wife and my card separate. And what was interesting is on my card, probably one of the most recurring expenses was Anthony's Pizza. I love Anthony's Pizza. I just love pizza, period. In fact, I'm kind of like a, you know, like a little kid where you're like, what's your favorite food? I'm like, pizza. I always embarrass my wife, too, because we'll go to nice restaurants, and she'll order this fancy dish, and, you know, I'll look at it, and I can't even make out half the stuff on the plate. You know, I can't definitely can't pronounce what it is. And then they'll come to me, and I'm like, can I get a personal pepperoni pizza? I try to convince her that I'm kind of like a wine snob, except pizza instead of wine, you know, like a pizza snob. It's shameful. But when I looked at my statement, you know, my money showed me where my heart is. It was evident in my expenses that I love pizza. And where we spend our money is where our heart is. Now, the Apostle Paul traveled a lot, and the Philippians were one of the only churches that gave to him during his travels. And in Philippians 4:18, it says, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Giving should be an act of worship. It should be pleasing to God. And I think we need to remember that when we give. The second aspect I want to talk about is the giving as an act of sacrifice. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus positions himself so he can watch the people coming into the temple and giving to the treasury. And, you know, he watches the rich guys come in and they're, you know, filling up the treasury. And so in verse 42, it says, then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes a quadrants. Now, a mite is just like a small copper coin. It was only worth fractions of a penny. And it really had no bearing on the overall gift of the overall treasury that this widow put in. And so Jesus calls over the disciples and he says, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Christ was not impressed with the rich people that were given all the money. He was impressed with the poor widow. She had nothing, and she was willing to give sacrificially. In Matthew 19, we see another example of giving sacrificially with the story of the rich man, and you know, he asks Christ how he can get eternal life. You know, Christ says, well, you know, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your mom and dad, love your neighbor. And he says, I've done all that, but what am I lacking? And Christ says, go give everything you have to the poor and come and follow me. Now, a couple years ago, my wife Lindsay was pregnant with our third child, and at the 20-week ultrasound, we found out that she had a real rare condition called a diaphragmatic hernia, some of you probably remember. And if she survived, which she did, thankfully, we knew that we were going to have to stay at least 3 weeks in the NICU, just as a bare minimum, and the NICU is kind of like the ICU for babies. And at that time, Lindsay and I were on a pretty tight budget. I didn't make very much money, and you know, we wanted her to stay home with the kids. And so we had to share a single income. And after finding out about this condition, some of my family and some close friends decided to throw Lindsay a surprise baby shower. Now, rather than giving us traditional baby shower gifts, they all just gave us money, checks and cash and stuff. They wanted to do that because they knew that we're going to have to, you know, spend a lot on gas and food while we were living at a hospital. So after the shower, we were going through these checks and going through these cards and reading these cards that we had gotten from people, and we came across one check that was from a certain couple. This couple we knew were having financial struggles. They gave us a check that was probably five times more than what we would have expected for this type of a situation. And my wife and I were just blown away. We were blown away at their generosity. It wasn't the biggest check, but we knew that they probably couldn't afford it. We even debated giving it back. It was kind of hard to accept. We were not struggling, but we were not struggling like they were, not compared to them. And so it was very humbling that they were willing to give what they didn't have. We were by no means poor. But they, you know, they gave the way that Christ was talking to that rich man, telling him to do. God wants us to give to him the same way that this couple gave to us. The third aspect of giving is cheerfully, giving cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." God wants us to enjoy giving. You know, right out of high school, I got a job with the district attorney's office in their IT department. Now, this job didn't pay very much because it was part-time. It didn't pay very well. It wasn't very many hours. And not long after I had been working there, they wanted to promote me full-time so that I wouldn't go somewhere else. And so when they moved me to full-time, my hours doubled, my pay rate doubled. Overall, it probably tripled my income. Then on top of this, I was living at home. I was skimming off, you know, free rent off of my parents. I ate their food. I didn't have any bills. Man, I was making bank. I think I probably put in like 15 or 20 pounds from eating out just because I had so much extra money to spend. And so when Christmas came around, normally I had to kind of scrounge for like a small gift. But this year I was like, man, I'm loaded. I'm gonna get the big gifts, you know. So one gift I'll never forget was a very expensive espresso machine for my dad. Now, this espresso machine is Ronchilio by brand, which is made in Italy. It's kind of like the Rolex of watches if you're into espresso machines. You know, it's stainless steel. It's got the professional size head on it. And if you know my dad, he loves his Starbucks. You know, he was buying it long before Starbucks came to Denver. His sister would ship him Starbucks from Seattle. And every morning he'd make his latte on this little piece of junk latte machine. Man, never in my life was I so excited to spend so much money on a gift. And when my dad opened it, he was really excited. It was very pleasing to him. He loves that. He still to this day uses it and loves that latte machine. It brought me a lot of joy to get him something expensive that, you know, that he would love so much. And I think that's kind of the joy that God wants us to have when we give to him. He wants us to give cheerfully, the way that I felt when I gave my dad that espresso machine. The fourth aspect I want to talk about is giving faithfully. Now, I believe that God wants us to be faithful in our giving and not just occasionally being generous. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul writes to the church in Corinth and he tells them, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." Now, I find this kind of interesting because Paul commands them, he gives them orders to take a weekly collection, which is kind of rare for Paul to do. This discipline of passing the plate or the bag is started with the very early church. And in 2 Corinthians 9:7, that we looked at earlier, it says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. And that word purposes there can be defined also as propose. You know, like when a man proposes to a wife, he makes a commitment to her. And I think God wants us to make a commitment in our heart to give to him faithfully. Solomon, the wisest man ever, also tells us to give faithfully. In Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, sometimes God gives us guidelines, and they just don't really make sense at face value. But we have to remember that God knows best for us. And I believe that if we're not giving faithfully on a regular basis, we're only hurting ourselves. Years ago, I did some reading about wealth, the getting rich type of stuff, and I listened to some audiobooks, and it really changed my view on money. A couple of the books that I listened to were Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. Another one was Richest Man in Babylon by George Clason. Those were probably two of the more recommended ones at the time. And then also here at Harvest, we do a Financial Peace University, which is done by Dave Ramsey, which I highly recommend if money is a serious issue in your life to take that program. But, you know, out of all these books, the books that I've read, the Financial Peace program, they all have a recurring theme. And that's to give a percent of your income to charity. Something that wealthy people understand is a foundational component to money, and that is to give faithfully. You'd think I know how to work a mic, being the tech guy. But. All right. To me, this whole concept feels backwards. Give money and you'll gain. You know, how do I gain from giving my money away? But God tells us to do it. I think I'm just going to hang this thing on my shoulder or something. Can you hear me all right? Let me pull it up. I'm just going to hang it. I think this worked for my dad once. Can you hear me okay? Is that good? Okay. Where was I now? Oh, yeah. So God tells us to give faithfully. You know, Paul tells us to do it. Solomon tells us to do it. Robert Kiyosaki tells us to do it. George Clason, Dave Ramsey, they all tell us to give faithfully. And I think maybe there's more to this giving faithfully than the faithfulness. I think it teaches us how to view money. It teaches us to let go of money and to make money a little less important in our lives. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, I don't have much money, so I give my time instead. Makes sense, right? We've all heard time equals money. If you're convinced of this, though, let me ask you this question. How many people come to your door asking for your time? Truth is, God wants us to let go of money. We're all too busy. We already know how to let go of time. But giving money faithfully is not so easy. Now, the fifth and final aspect of giving that I want to talk about is the rewards or blessings of giving. Now, this is kind of somewhat of a controversial topic because we have preachers on TV that, you know, they tell us, send us a few bucks and God will make you rich. There's an episode of the show 2.5 Men where in a scene the boy is talking to his dad about Reverend Ron, the televangelist. And the kid says, you know what? If I send Reverend Don money, God will make me rich. And the dad responds and he asks, well, did you send him money? And the kid said, wouldn't you? Later on in the show, the kid sneezes, and there's an elderly woman there, and she says, God bless you. And he says, kid pipes back and says, he better. I sent him $5. We don't want to hear preachers and TV evangelists tell us that if we send them money, we're going to get more money back.
because it's not true, and we know it. The problem with that concept is that we're not giving money to God. All it is a high-risk gambling where the odds just are not in your favor. And I believe that if we give to God, He will bless us. But if our goal is profit, He won't bless us. Now, if we go back to Philippians 4:18, looking at giving as worship, says, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And then in verse 19 it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And if we go back to Matthew 19 about giving with sacrifice, back when Christ was talking to the rich man, he says, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then in 2 Corinthians 9, when giving cheerfully, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then in verse 8 it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And then finally, when we look in Proverbs 3:9 about giving faithfully, it said, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. God blesses those who give to him. Now, I'm not going to go stand here and say that he'll give, you know, if you give money to God, that he's going to bless you with more money. However, the scriptures are clear that God wants to use us to fuel his ministries. He will bless us financially and spiritually so that we can give more, not to fill up our bank account, not to be blessed by making us rich. He will give us an abundance for every good work. Now, I'd like to challenge you today to give through worship, to give through sacrifice, to give cheerfully, to give faithfully, and reap the blessings that God will pour out on you. But I want to challenge you to give to God, and not out of guilt, but cheerfully. At Harvest, we have many different ways to give to God, not just through our general offering. We have a benevolent fund where we buy gift cards for those that are in need of food. We have a food drive that we have that gets picked up out by the front door. This time of year, the youth group will be raising money for summer camp. Tom Kriska is heading up the development of the East Courtyard over here on this side of the building, and we're going to need resources for that, trees and grass. Glenn Morrison is starting a new missions program. But, you know, if you're a visitor and you feel like this message is just a message to get money for the church, or you're not really sure if you want to give to Harvest, there are other great ministries outside of Harvest that God is working through. A few of them are like Helping Hands International Ministries, Open Arms Pregnancy Center, the Salvation Army, the Denver Rescue Mission, Compassion International, many more. But if you can't give cheerfully, don't give. Otherwise, it's all for nothing. Giving is not a requirement, and God will bless us if we give cheerfully. And who doesn't want to be blessed by God? Money will not be our master when giving through worship. Money will not be required to fulfill our discontent when giving with sacrifice. Money will not be wanted for happiness when giving cheerfully, and money will not be needed for security when giving faithfully. And the reward will make us wealthy. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to